I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. If your Bible was a bicep, how big would it be? Okay, same drill. Okay, would it be Colin? Pretty impressive, huh? Or would it be me?
I'm just compensating for my small Bible.
What?
I'm compensating for my small Bible. Does that make sense?
That's good.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. Thank you. I love that question. If your Bible was a bicep, how big would it be? Personally, got to tell you, I used to go to the gym all the time. Not so much anymore. My favorite piece of equipment at the gym, bar none, always has been the hot tub. That was it, the hot tub. It really was. But if that's all I did, that's all I'd be. That's all I do. It's the hot tub. Well, we need to stretch beyond our comfort zones. The scripture tells us to buffet our bodies. That is not buffet our bodies. Spelled the same. Completely different thing. Somebody, Danny, the first service, was so excited. He says, on my way up to the platform, he says, hey, does that really say buffet our bodies? And I said, no. And he says, oh, darn it. Buffet our bodies, make them our slave, and run in such a way as to what? No, you're going to win with that attitude. Win the race, I guess.
Win the race!
There you go. Run in such a way as to...
Win the race!
There you go. There you go. Now understand, our salvation is the finished work of Christ. We know that. But there is a however. However, just like muscle, we must continue to strengthen what we've been given. We're commanded to. And so let's look at the scripture in Philippians chapter 2. Paul urges them and us to continue. And that's a big word this morning. Continue to work out your salvation. Not work for. Don't get tripped up there. Don't say work for yourself. Work out your salvation with fear. And we always get a little nervous on the word fear. Fear, the whole fear of God thing, it's the healthy type of fear that a good electrician has for the power and authority of electricity. Right. He gets to handle it, gets to use it. It's a wonderful thing. It's for us, not against us, but it dictates how things work, right? Okay, so it's the healthy fear of electrician to electrician. Fear and trembling. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And we go, well, is that like fear and fear? What fear and trembling? No, that's a completely different thing. We got to go to scripture for. The difference is we are told, and I got a couple examples there for you, that the faithful tremble at God's word. So if you're going to work out your salvation with healthy fear and trembling at his word, well, you're going to the power source, the word of God. Let's see, Psalm 211 says, we are told, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling at his word. So you put it together. We work out our salvation, the salvation Christ gave us. We work it out with utmost respect and eager expectation at his word. That's how we continue to work it out, his word. For it is God who works in you. You're not... He's the one making the change happen. When he works in, when you work out. And what's he working you to do? To change you, to help you to will or to desire and to act according to his good purpose. He changes you as you continue to pursue him in his word. So that you may become blameless, you won't be ashamed when you see him, because you know his word. And pure, I love King James, it says harmless, it's a little more accurate there, harmless, you won't be hurting people with your own kind of spin on his word. Children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Now, working out, the gym, that's one sense, but there is another sense of working out, and that we work something out to figure it out. We got to work something out. Right? When I was little, I love taking my toys apart so I could work out what made them do whatever they did. I couldn't put them back together, but I just love taking those things apart because I just had this desire, that maybe an understanding that you don't really own it till you know how it works. And it was just in me. I got to know how it works. Well, that's what we're told to do. Work out your salvation. You got to know how it works. Instead of thinking, and here's the problem with most believers, not his place, not this church, most believers, instead of thinking, hey, I need to figure out, work out, and know for myself what Christ has done for me. I need to know that. They tend to think, Jesus did it. I trust the guy who told me about it, or gal. So where's the hot tub? Let's just go relax. It's like, but see, your trust is in the guy or gal who told you about him. We begin by hearing about. That's good. You have to. You hear about Jesus. But we continue by hearing from. And if you don't take it, if you don't take that step, you're not one of his. I mean, this is a hard truth, but man, you're going to see the scriptures. We must expand our trust about Jesus into trust in Jesus. And that requires this, you know, one-on-one, me, his word, working out my salvation, figuring it out, strengthening it. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth. Don't look at it, well, I can't know that. I'll just read a book about it. No, no, no. John said, anyone, he's talking about believers here, any believer who runs ahead, who goes on with their life, you know, they receive Christ and just goes on with life, runs ahead, and does not continue in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So it's a pretty harsh but true statement. Now, we're winding this whole thing down here, and I told you today, I've been building to this. I just can't wait to share this with you. Because we've been approaching the Gospels, God's Word, with the highest respect for its power and authority, seeing it as perfect and us as not. And we've been approaching it with this trembling, joyful anticipation of what it's going to show us. And because of that, here's what we've worked out regarding our salvation these past few weeks. We've seen the two robes that Jesus wore before the cross. Incredible. Incredible. We saw the two drinks that he's offered at the cross and the depth of meaning. We even drank them. We tasted them. We saw the two veils, the two curtains that had to tear in order for the Holy of Holies to be exposed. And we saw the one sign above the cross that took all four Gospels woven together to know what it said. We worked all that out about our salvation. And last week, we saw the two confessions of the centurion. We saw his declaration at the cross when he saw how Jesus died, and the other at the tomb when we wove it together. We saw, oh, this goes to the tomb, when he and his men saw the angel of the Lord descend from heaven. So first when he saw how he died, and then when he saw how the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. So he confessed surely he's the Son of God when he saw how he died, and surely he's the Son of God when he saw the angel of the Lord descend from heaven. Who's the angel of the Lord descending from heaven? This lightning messenger who sits on the stone in triumph. And where's Jesus? I mean, this is kind of his big moment, right? What's he doing? He's not sitting in the hot tub, just hanging out going, why does that angel get all the glory? Who's this angel? You know, people could have had airplanes and light bulbs and TVs and microwave ovens 2,000 years ago, but they didn't. why. They just didn't put it together and work it out till now. So how much of God's word do you suppose he has intentionally left to be worked out? Interesting, he would command us to work out our salvation and not give us any workout equipment. Right? Work out your salvation in my word. Well, that explains why your word needs to be worked out. But there's a whole lot in that Old Testament that no one claims to comprehend. And we're real quick to just make something up. I'll bet it means this. Oh, that's not working out your salvation. To work it out, you got to get rid of the guesswork. Okay, you ready for the poo? You already see where I'm going with this, right? That angel, I'll just tell you before I teach it. That angel is Jesus' big triumphal moment. That angel is Jesus coming back in triumph and victory. That's Jesus Christ, and we've missed it. We've missed his big moment. We've not respected his big moment of triumph. But there's no question it's him. I'll make my case. Watch. Let's start in Zechariah chapter 12. Thus says the Lord, on that day. What day? Well, he goes on to say, that God says, the day they will look on me, the one they have pierced. Okay. So on the day they look on him, the one they pierced. On that day, the house of David, specifically the son of David, the line of David, will be like God. And we know there's only one guy who becomes like God. And since no one can look on God unfiltered, it says he will be like God, like the angel of the Lord, going before them. Now, this is not a regular angel. This is God's bondservant messenger that is equal to God in the Old Testament. And I won't make that case a little bit. On that day, they will look on me, God, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him, the angel of the Lord, as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. They're going to look on the angel of the Lord? The one who's pierced? What? Okay, you know the drill with the, we're weaving the scriptures together here, and the drill is Matthew is purple, Mark is blue, Luke is green, John is brown. When we put them together, we don't break the story ties, right? We keep those story blocks together. We just weave them, like Isaiah says. When we weave this section, it can only weave one way without breaking the story ties. There's one part that can actually slide down and be part of another story. I'll show you that when we get there. But this is the only way the story can weave together without breaking it. Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me. She ran and grabbed him. I left that part out there. Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Remember that. Don't hold on to me. You can't hold on to me. I've not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Go tell them, I'm doing that. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping, just like Zechariah says on that day. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, we jump to Matthew, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who, if we read back in Matthew far enough, we find out was Jesus' mom. Mary and Jesus' mom went to look at the tomb, not took the spices to anoint Jesus, because Mary Magdalene came back and said, he's risen. Mom's the only one to go back with her. So they went to look at the tomb. But now when they arrive, they end up looking on one like God and like the angel of the Lord. Because that's when the stone's rolled away. Because as Mark says right here, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. And when you weave this together, that very strange line can go there or it can slide down. Luke can go up in between it, and it can either refer to the two Marys or it can refer to the next story, which is the Emmaus couple. But then it says, these two returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Okay, no guesswork. Because in the next story, the Emmaus couple returns and everyone believes them. Because Peter's already seen them. They say, we know. Which means if it can't be the Emmaus couple, and it can only be one of the two, it's the two Marys. So Jesus appeared in a different form to the two Marys. And no one believed him. A couple years ago, I guessed that this other form was referring to Jesus' scars. And I told you I was guessing because I didn't know. And though he was, I thought that's why they didn't recognize him, because of his scars. I believe that. I think, yes, he was scarred and disfigured, and I think that's why he was not recognized by the couple on the road to Emmaus. But that is not what his other form is referring to. I was wrong about that. And I know that now. I know that I know. And you know how I know that I know. Because no guesswork. I found it in the scripture. I found Jesus' three forms. And one's not visible. There's only two visible forms. And one's Jesus. It's in Philippians. Coincidentally, it's right before Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's just before that. He says, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, there's one form. The form of God. But that's the form no one's ever seen and can't see. Made himself of no reputation, taking the form, the appearance, of a bondservant. Well, that's the Old Testament messenger angel of the Lord. He's called the servant of the Lord. And coming in the likeness of men, there's the third form. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God the Father also highly exalted him, the bondservant, and man. So Jesus, the crucified man, appeared to the Marys in his only other visible form, the glorified angel of the Lord. And when the soldiers saw him, they were filled with fear and trembled not with joy. And became like dead men, which is not uncommon in the presence of this guy. There's like two dozen scriptures in the Old Testament on it. Here's five. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, that's Samson's parents, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die because we've seen God. Here's all three forms mentioned in one story. A man wrestled with Jacob until daybreak. Jacob said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Yes, says Hosea, Jacob wrestled with the angel. Jacob blessed Joseph, saying, God, who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And yet, this is separate from God, because sometimes God speaks and directs and commands the angel of the Lord, who on that day will be like God and the angel of the Lord. And you know how I worked this all out? Just by playing God's matching game. I saw he called the angel of the Lord. Come around. I want to know who that is sitting on the stone. So I just looked up angel of the Lord in the Bible, and I gathered them, and then I just read them, and then I reread them, and then I went back and read the gospel and went, oh my gosh, that's God. But it can't be God. It's got another form. It's another form. Wait, isn't there, it says Jesus' other form. Oh, and the hair stood up, and it's like in all the pieces, everything fit. What I'm about to show you, all these things that are so hard to understand, all of a sudden went, well, that's simple now, and that's simple now, and that, oh my. One of the devil's most successful deceptions on us, you and me, and the church at large, has been convincing Christians that the Bible is bottomless and endless and infinite. Oh, you could never plumb the depths. Oh, you could never get to it. Do you realize what that does to us? It defeats us before we start. How could you ever hope to know? Why'd God give it? I thought he gave it to communicate with us. Who wants to play that game? The game you could never win. It's a lie. This lie is the reason why it's never been fully worked out, because we've been told it can't be. Even though the Bible itself says over and over, it can. Seek me and you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. Everything hidden is meant to be brought out. Everything concealed meant to be revealed. So be careful how you listen. God says in Proverbs, if you receive my words and search for her, he's talking about wisdom and discernment, as for hidden treasures, because he's buried them to give us something to work out, then, oh, you will understand the fear of the Lord. You'll learn to respect it. You'll learn to go, oh my goodness, it is perfect. And find the knowledge of God. That's a promise. It's buried in that. You can find the knowledge of God. Millions of otherwise faithful followers have given up before even trying to do what Jesus did. We know Jesus figured it out, put it together. But goodness, we give up before we even try to do what Jesus did with the word because we think it's impossible. Which I guess is calling Jesus a liar. Because in John 7:16, Jesus himself said, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, look, take me out of it. You go do, you and God go do what me and God did. God and I did. And then you'll see what I saw. Because he was made like us in every way. He didn't cheat. Whatever trial, whatever hurdle, test, or disaster that you are facing, the truest, the deepest answer lies in knowing God's word for yourself. That's why I'm always harping on it. What else is there? That's it. That's God's communication with us. Not studying it like a scholar. You've heard me say this so many times. Not studying it like a scholar. Just knowing it like a child. Just know it. And watch what he does with the pieces that you know, what's he say to the prophet? He says, son of man, receive every word I've spoken into your heart and have ears to hear. It is written in a weird way. It is written to force us to ask the right questions. Like, who's that lightning angel who's stealing Jesus' thunder on the big day of his big moment? But we're often more committed to finding a way to distract ourselves or excuse ourselves from tackling these questions than working them out. We don't care because we don't know it well enough, because we don't read it enough, because we're not working it out. So let's work it out. Matthew writes, there was a violent earthquake for an angel of the Lord, and that should be capitalized, and that should say the angel of the Lord. For the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back. See, when Mary held on to him, remember the stone hadn't been rolled away. So I'm returning to the Father. Going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it in triumph, legs dangling. The Roman soldiers, remember, I'll bring your enemies and put them under your feet? That's where that happens. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. That's just like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when the disciples saw his other form and beheld his glory. So this angel is wearing Jesus' glory, about which God says in Isaiah 42:8, my glory I give to no other. So who's this angel wearing God's glory and taking Jesus' title? The angel of the Lord said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He, the one who came in the likeness of men, is not here in that form. Remember, he appeared to them in another form. This is Jesus who was glorified. He says he's not here, the crucified one. He's not here because he has risen to the Father just as he said to her, to Mary Magdalene, when he told her not to hold on to him because he hasn't returned. Now we'll jump ahead. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. There's the fear and trembling, the fear and trembling with joy. That is, oh, we gotta go tell. Suddenly, Jesus, being found in appearance of a man, the form they're familiar with, met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Clasped his feet. Do you see what a big deal that is? Jesus didn't allow Mary Magdalene to hold on to him until he returned to the Father. Now he allows Mary Magdalene to hold on to him, which means he returned to the Father, but he's there, which means he came back. When? When the angel of the Lord, like lightning, came from heaven and Jesus appeared in his other form. Look at this riddle. Isaiah 66. I've had some of you get a little upset with me in the past. Stop calling the Bible a riddle book and a game. Well, listen to this and see if you agree. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the place of my rest? Well, in the tomb. That's in the tomb. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble with delight at his word. Here's this great riddle. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who is she? Who is she? He says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? And I'll give you the answer. Good guess, but it's not correct. Who has seen such things? Well, anyone who's read Isaiah 26:19, because that's where he's hiding the answer. She's the earth, and her womb is the tomb, and Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. And that's why she doesn't go into labor or feel pain, because she's dirt and rocks. And then he ends by saying, shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Yes. Yeah, the day that Jesus, that's one of the days of the Son of Man, the day he is born from the dead, the firstborn. This is the one day of on that day when he appears like God and like the angel of the Lord. 4 days earlier, Jesus said to his disciples something that's puzzled everyone for a long time. The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. What? I thought it was just the day of the Lord. What do you mean, one of the days of the Lord, of the Son of Man? And why will they want to? And they can't. I thought he comes like lightning, and how can they not see? Well, once you know that's Jesus on the stone, it all makes sense. This is the day of his birth from the death. The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it, because when Mary told them, they did not believe it. And so they didn't go. Men will tell you, there he is, or here he is. Do not go running off after them. Too late. Too late. You should have listened to Mary, which is the very thing he scolds them for the night of his resurrection when he returns. For the Son of Man in his day, the one he says you will not see, will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky. Blink and you miss it. Matthew says, for as lightning that comes from the east, because that's where the gate to God's presence is guarded. That's the gate to Eden. That's the gate home, where no one can get past it, except Jesus who came from heaven. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Luke says, from one end to the other, heaven to earth, throne to footstool. Puts his enemies at his footstool, and he sits and dangles his feet above them. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation, beginning the next day after he says that. just as it was in the days of Noah, yeah, when everyone was caught off guard, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. It was the same in the days of Lot. Yeah, everyone was caught off guard. It will be just like this on the day that you will not see when the Son of Man is revealed. Like lightning. The next night, the night before Jesus' crucifixion, he prays, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me. That's his heart. He wants them to see. That's why he tells Mary, go tell them. Go tell them I'm returning to the Father. But they don't come back. And they don't get to see that day. On that day when he comes as God, as the angel of the Lord, Mary and mom look on the one that was pierced. Just a couple weeks earlier, Jesus said something that's bothered theologians forever because it looks like it never came true. But if he's the angel on the stone, we know it did. Jesus said, the Son of Man is going to come in his glory and in his Father's glory with his angels, which he does at the tomb. And then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here, pretty simple what he's saying. Some who are standing here, Mary Magdalene and mom, will not taste death before they are rewarded according to what they do and get to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, in his glory. Everyone goes, ooh, that never happened though. That didn't. People say, well, it kind of happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, but he didn't really come with the angels there. Paul just says it in Galatians 4:14, by the way. He just slips it right under the door in when thanking the Galatians for their warm reception. He says, oh, wow, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Wait, what did he just say? As an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself, somebody worked it out. At the Last Supper, Jesus praises God, saying, the men whom you gave me have kept your word. And he's very proud of them. He's proud of you. For whatever degree that you are working it out in his word, he's proud of you. Now they have come to know that everything you've given me is from you in the word, the way he sees it. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them and us. And they received them and truly understood. You see, we cannot truly believe what we will not receive. We have to continue in his word. You have to. I'll end on this. The Old Testament prophecy about Jesus' triumphant entry? We read this. It says, we've read it many times at Easter. Your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Most of you know that, right? You know that 5 verses later, it says, then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. Jesus is the ultimate electricity in the heavens, right? He's lightning. He is lightning. And what a perfect analogy for this idea of rightly fearing something while simultaneously beholding its awesome beauty and power. You know, it's like, oh, I just want to look at it. Oh, don't go outside, it could kill you. I know, but I just want to look at it. I want to see it. Rejoice with trembling as it lights up the darkness. You get to handle that. You get to touch that. So work it out. No more excuses, no more justification, no more distractions. Work it out. Nothing of God is out of your reach. It's just hidden for now in plain sight in the dark. And we are going to find it together. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you, and we receive your words. Holy Spirit, inspire us to search for wisdom and discernment in your word with all our heart, and teach us the knowledge of God. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you and choose to do your will. And in your name, everybody said, amen. Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.